Yeah.
All right. Clock's moving slow. So let's call the meeting to order, please. Let's do a roll call.
Dr. Zizola? Mr. Dockery?
Here.
Mr. Hawley?
Here.
Mr. Pepe?
Here.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Here.
Mr. Neff?
Here.
Mr. Cattrick? Mr. Jasko?
Here.
Mr. Kopinski?
Here.
Mr. Crowther? Curtis? Mr. Burr? Ms. Majewski?
Yep, here.
Okay, pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting in Borough Hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. And please, decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. Let's stand for a silent prayer and a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next up is public comment for items that are not on the agenda today. Oh, so much better. Oh, my goodness. Welcome, Mr.
Krause. Yes, James Krause, 77 Bayside Drive. I know it says items not on the agenda, but can I ask what the virtual presentation discussion is about?
Yes, we had discussed, I think, in advance of the meeting, talking about a couple of issues, logistical issues relating to the virtual presentations, who's going to be doing the recording going forward, whether we will ask applicants to put to provide PDFs of their application packets, and also whether we will allow people just to do virtual presentations if they have an application, or if we want to have some sort of a process, a standard for exceptional circumstances, virtual can be done, and something for the board to discuss.
Okay. I'd like to make
a comment. Sure. Yeah.
Number one, when Mr. Callahan presented that possible application going forward, and it was shown up on the screen, it was much easier to see than anything in the easel.
Yep.
Number two, if it's virtual, that means that the people on Zoom, who could be either planning board members who are not present but attending the meeting virtually, or members of the public, can see the exhibits if you allow screen share, I assume. If you have virtual applications, you can do that. Third, you can also post things on the website. My mother lives in Beach Haven. My mother-in-law has a house in Long Beach Township. They both had, within the last year, applications that were relevant to their, they got notice. And I was able to go on the website and look at the plans instead of going down to Long Beach Island to look at them. And then I was able to arrange to show up at their houses with a computer later and describe what happened. Additionally, when I was chair of the Environmental Commission and working full time, there was an application that was relevant to the Environmental Commission. I had to make time to come into the office here. And if things are virtual, the present Environmental Commission and probably the Shade Tree Commission can look at things online instead of having to come in.
Yep.
So I'm happy that you moved to Zoom. I'd like to proceed and I'd like you to proceed and come fully into the year 2022 and have virtual applications or virtual exhibits.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments for things that are not on the agenda, or things that are, if you have a comment about that issue? Okay. Let's go on to pending litigation.
I'm pleased to report that there is none.
Okay, thank you. All right, other business. So I think number one on the list is virtual presentations. couple of things that come to mind. Should we have some sort of a standard for in-person versus virtual, sort of exceptional circumstances? Second thing I can think of is should we allow and encourage virtual exhibits? Should we require application packets to be posted on the website? And who's going to be doing it?
That's key.
And should planning board members be allowed to participate virtually? So, discussion.
I think requiring it is just another burden. I think it's, if they want to, it is nice to have that, but I think to require it right now, I think that might not be available to everyone.
Mm-hmm. So you think provide the option for people to do it, maybe encourage
it? I think it's a nice option.
Okay.
Are we talking about applicants?
Applicants, yeah.
I think the applicant should be here.
I do too.
Their case.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. I think in exceptional circumstances, we can you know, provide an exception. Then the question is, how do we do that logistically?
And do we spell that out ahead of time? Do we make a list of what are acceptable exceptions?
A list, or if we can consider on a case-by-case basis, but, you know, over time we'll establish a precedent.
Well, we've been doing this since 1963, so
it's
been working out.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I would prefer applicants come in person, but, you know, somebody's sick or, out of town or...
Well, it would be just as we did with the other ones. They postpone it for the next meeting, and if they're not ready, then the next one or whatever. And so, plus the time when we have to dismiss.
Yeah. We carried all the time from month to month.
So it sounds like we have a couple in favor of just applicants need to be here.
Absolutely.
Right? And I'm a little bit more on the side of allowing for exigent circumstances, but I was going to suggest that if there are any such circumstances, they need to present it at the meeting before so that we can all talk about it. Because I don't want to make the decision. I don't think the chairman's role is to sort of usurp the board's, you know, views. So, because my views sometimes differ from other people. So, I think if we're going to do that, I would suggest that we require applicants to let us know before the meeting, before the one they're supposed to present.
Yeah, I think it's good to have an option. I do think, you know, it's part of embracing technological advances. But as somebody who has presented to planning boards in the past, you want to be here. You know, if you're a hired professional by somebody who's submitting an application, you want to be there. You want to submit materials so that way they can present it virtually. You want to do everything possible to make your stuff clear and available to the general public. So I don't think requiring is, you know, necessary, but I like the option available for sure.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? So why don't we vote? How do you want to do this, Mike? No virtual versus virtual with exigent circumstances.
Well, go no virtual first.
And see if we get a majority.
And if that's a majority, it's done.
Well, what do you mean? Have the applicant present or just do it virtually?
So let's vote on we're going to require the applicant to be present. If we get a majority, that's the end of the issue. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so a yes vote is you want the applicant to be present at all presentations.
So requiring them to be present at all?
Requiring.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you vote?
Dr. Zusloch?
No.
Mr. Dougherty?
No.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Pepe?
No.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Karpinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
No.
5-4.
5-4 in favor. Okay, so that's that. So now applicants need to come in and present in person. People can watch from outside, but if it's an application before the board, the applicant needs to be here physically. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's now talk a little bit about application packets. One thing that I don't think we should require it. And maybe the borough can do it, or, you know, the planning board.
Scan
them up.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. We have, I'm not certain of when the new person will begin, mm-hmm. but we have a new planning board secretary joining us. And it could be part, I think, it's not onerous to scan some files. I mean, some of these plans are quite large.
Yeah.
But, you know, to get some scans, PDF, to turn them into PDFs and put them all on the website, I think is, you know, to Mr. Krause's point, I think that's useful, you know, for our members of the public to see what's coming before us. And then that whoever runs this meeting can easily share the screen so that they're more accessible by members of the public.
Well, maybe Mrs. Bark can invite us out. Cumbersome of how much of a burden that could be on the individual, being she's going to have three or four other jobs that she's taking care of too.
I think, could you require that they be sent to the planning board in that form already, and then all she has to do is upload it?
My one concern with requiring it is when we have, with an architect, an engineer, you know, that's not going to be an issue. But if it's a, you know, a resident that just does a hand-drawn, as we've seen, a lot of hand-drawn things to make them go to, most people don't have scanners in their house, I do, but, you know.
Does Aaron now scan things to you, or do you get the physical packet?
We get physical packets, but the agenda's scanned. Yeah, and sometimes we get scanned.
We do not have the ability to do a large paper.
Sure.
Okay. Our machine only goes
11 by 17 or something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, would it be a checklist item, though, if we needed to ask for PDFs? And, you know, certainly, and we don't use the phrase exigent circumstances. So yeah. if there's an applicant that is not capable of doing it, certainly we could.
You can require that.
You can. But we would be required to change the checklist. Right?
Correct.
So, just for my education, are we requiring the applicant to upload it themselves, or are we requiring the new secretary of the planning board to upload it?
That's the discussion.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
Tactically as well, who's operating that computer during this meeting to do that? It's another added responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, oh, you mean whoever we engage to do that? I'm not sure who's going to do it, and it's not going to be Lori.
It's not going to be forever, but during COVID, if I may.
Yeah, of course.
He did receive materials electronically. It is not difficult to share those things on the screen, and it's the best view. What I did last meeting, because we had an applicant that came that had a new document, I zoomed the camera onto the screen. Mm-hmm. So I think with a little bit of training, I mean, I'm not a Zoom expert, but I've been doing it and hanging out with you guys for a while.
Yep.
And a lot of times I was able to go to the website to items that were uploaded to the website and just share it from the website.
I remember. It was great.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's absolutely possible. It's more of what the will of the board is, because it's not onerous. I was just looking to see if any of the exhibits for this meeting were on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. And not paying attention to you at all.
Did the applicants do that, or did somebody here do that, upload it for them?
Someone here.
Yeah,
the applicant
here
sent it to them.
Okay. Oh, they sent them a package and they upload it? Or do they send them like a hard copy and then they scan them here and then upload them to the site?
If it's of a size that we can do here,
okay,
then we can upload it. Otherwise, they can send it, they send the PDF and we upload it that way.
And what? That was common. That we would do it here.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw an idea out. What about we request and strongly encourage applicants to do it.
Yeah, not require.
And if they don't, then Doug, can you do it?
So, yes. the practice in my office is when a paper application is submitted to the board, because we always need a complete file for the board here in the building.
Mm-hmm.
But one copy gets into my hands, and I'll scan every document individually.
Great.
I have been providing them to Aaron for the last few months to distribute to you, because we already have them scanned. The oversight drawings, most of the professional board work with PDFs, but the concern that I have, trying to upload everything in an organized fashion and have it on the website, It takes time, and it needs to be on the website a certain amount of time ahead of the meeting, which means it's got to get to the board secretary to be organized, formatted, and uploaded. I see there's potential to run into problems with last minute applications, shuffling an agenda around a little bit, but oversized drawings I can scan and provide to the board.
Here's going to be my suggestion. We'll see what everybody thinks about this. My suggestion is we encourage applicants to do it on their own, they're the ones who are responsible for their presentation. They want it to be a good one and organized, right? If the applicant doesn't do it, then Doug, you flip your file in the form that it's in. I mean, you know, it doesn't need to be extra work. That is not considered the official record of what the application packet is. The official application packet is what we sit and review here on the day we're sitting on you know, on this dais. But it's a nice thing for people to have. I personally would like it. I'd like to be able to click on the link.
Could it be prepared like prior to, like if they submit and we have all the documents, can it be loaded to our website, you know, so that people can view?
That's what we
I think we should load it up right under the agenda for the meeting.
I have a task to have the entire thing online.
Yeah.
You go, they have agenda and documents. And you go to those documents, and most of them, they actually tell you, they give them the exhibit numbers that before the meeting, A1, A2, A3, and you have each exhibit that's online that you can look at.
Mr. Rollmeyer, is that going to be an additional expense to us from your staff in your office, being that this is going to be kind of time-consuming depending on the application?
Because you wouldn't believe it by the amount of papers I carry, but my office is technically paper-free. I'm already doing it regardless, just as our filing system. So
I just wanted to know if there's something that we would have to pass on to the applicant or costs involved.
Not on a typical application, a couple documents. It shouldn't be an issue.
How about if we go into one like 17th Avenue D again?
It's a deep cut. I figured you did it. So that's why I asked.
That expense would have to be passed along to the applicant because we don't have line items or budget or anything to handle that outside of your contractual obligation.
But even last meeting, again, if I may, applicant had a hand drawn additional document and we easily could have scanned it. Mm-hmm. And uploaded, like, and just emailed it to whoever was operating the machine or had it sent to this machine or to Doug. So it's really not complicated.
Yeah, we do get quite a bit of free hand drawings when it's a residential application.
True.
Those are not 3x5 poster boards. Typically, they're done on printer paper, which can very easily be done whether you have a scanner at home or not. So.
Well, the one person here that. Before we even get it, gets every piece of paper are our professionals, right? So, I mean, Mr. Rollmeyer reviews every scrap of paper a week before we get it, and you already scan it, so I see this as a no-brainer.
If it goes on the TV, does it go on to the virtual meeting, or does that have to be on two computers then?
No, I think it comes up when you screen share on the Zoom. Yeah.
Cool.
And again, if someone brought a physical exhibit here, we can train the camera on it. It's just the view of it. The resolution is not the same because it's...
That's why I was asking.
Yeah. No, but if it's in a place that it can be screen shared, it's going to be at the high resolution that it can.
So strongly encouraged, but not required?
Strongly encouraged. We can put it on a checklist.
And we can do it on our end to kind of get the ball rolling so it's not an added burden on to applicants.
Yep. I let's take a vote. Why don't we vote on strongly encouraging applicants to do it? And to the extent an applicant doesn't, we use Mr. Rollmeyer's version, understanding that what's up on the website and what goes in this PDF packet is not the official record. The official record is what we do here. So we'll take a vote on sort of that package.
Good. Dr. Zuzlak?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Stay.
Mr. Pepe?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Pass. Okay. Great. The third thing I had substantively on this on the virtual issue is who do we anticipate getting to do this in? Because we have a very beneficent volunteer who has been helping us. But I think it's a burden that we probably shouldn't foist on a volunteer. So what are we planning to do?
We're working on that.
Oh, you are? Okay, so you're taking care of it. Wonderful. All right, so we'll skip the discussion and we'll talk about it later.
Great.
Excellent. Okay, so another issue that came up that isn't on the agenda, but I wanted to raise it.
One more thing, Doug.
Yeah.
About the board members being present.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. not on my list. I sort of extemporaneously said that. Yeah, do we want to require board members to be here? I think certainly. I don't think
as
we
should.
As opposed to
sitting at home.
Sitting at home and doing it.
Or on vacation. If you're on vacation, you're on vacation. You know.
You can watch, but I don't think we should be voting. And
I think it's important enough that you make it here.
I assume.
You should enjoy pina coladas on vacation.
Or margarita, whatever. Okay, but let's take a vote just to make sure everybody's on the same page. So a yes vote means yes, require board members to be present. And if they're not present, they're just not participating in the meeting.
Okay. Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
No.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Pepe?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
No.
Okay, and just one note on all of these issues that we're talking about, especially issues that I've sort of stored in my head as issues where people have voted the opposite of where we came out, we should just continue to discuss it. So if anybody wants to raise, hey, maybe now's the time to change something, just raise it at a workshop meeting and we'll talk about it. Okay?
Great.
All right. So one issue that came up in a conversation by email that I have with Mr. Stieb was we had an applicant that wanted to do a pre-submission presentation and have a discussion with either the planning board, members of the planning board, or our professionals. So Mr. Stieb advised, and I don't want to speak for you, but advised that, you know, meeting with the board is ill-advised. So the question is, should we allow folks who want to present larger projects to meet with the professionals in advance of meeting with the board, or would we prefer to request that, to not allow that and request that people who want to have a preliminary discussion have it like we had that last application before the board, they come to us and the full board talks to them about their application. So let's discuss and vote on that.
Shouldn't be allowed, in my opinion. If you have a plan and a concept and you want to apply for variances or approvals, then that should be it. Fine. We shouldn't come here, discuss it, tell them what we're looking for, so they can come back and tell us what they want to have, and then we can tell them what we can do for them.
So I agree with that, and my main concern is, I want to make this as easy as possible for people, right? But my main concern is that the appearance, if you have folks meeting with our professionals, without the full board here, without the cameras, without, you know, the public in the room, then you start to get inferences from people who, and this board has, everybody on this board has a lot of integrity, and certainly our professionals do, but like people may start thinking that there's an inside baseball game going on. And I just don't want to even have a suggestion of that. So I would be pretty strongly actually against the question whether the professionals should meet. And we've been advised that board members shouldn't meet with applicants. So my view is no to all of this. And people, if they want to come like the last applicant, come in, talk to the full board before they're actually presenting their packet and seeking the variances. I thought that was great. You know, not for every small project, but for large projects that may have issues, I thought it worked really smoothly. So that's my recommendation.
But the only problem with what happened here was it was fine, presented it, we made some comments or whatever on it, but then a week or two later, it's out on the street. What do you mean you're letting them build a 10-story high-rise on First Avenue? No, where did you get that from?
Yeah.
So if you have an application, present it, and we'll vote on it.
So your view is,
just so you're aware, let me interrupt. The land use law specifically provides that a potential applicant has the right to come informally with a concept plan before the board. However, anything that this is discussed is discussion only, non-binding, and the board can completely turn around 180. If and when it comes, but the statute says that they can bring a concept plan before the full board. Doesn't say anything about meeting with the board professionals before something's submitted, and absolutely the board members are not to participate in that until there's a submission for a concept, an informal concept review or an application.
So it looks like we can't vote on not allowing people to come in with a preliminary. So I think the only thing to vote on, subject to other discussion, is whether we are willing to allow the professionals to talk to applicants in advance and get a preview and have these kinds of conversations, or if we want people to come into the full board.
Yeah, I think to me that sounds like a violation of sunset Sunshine, thank you. I like sunset though. Sunshine laws. It's, you know, these deals that are made behind closed doors. And, you know, I just think that's getting into a tricky situation. So, but I quite like that applicant that came here and, you know, we did the review.
Concept review.
Thank you. I think it would be helpful to an applicant, certainly.
These applicants have the ability to hire municipal land use lawyers, professionals that are not associated with the board. And that's really the route that they should take.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have a difficult time understanding like how much of a discussion you really need to have on this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to be rude to anybody that disagrees, but like, it just seems there's so many reasons why this is a bad idea.
Yeah, agreed. And it puts Mr. Rohmeyer in a tough spot because he may say something to an applicant, then they come in here and say, Mr. Rohmeyer told me X, Y, and Z, and we say, okay, well, we disagree with Mr. Rohmeyer, right? So. Not that we ever disagree with you.
I get careful how I was throwing it because like Mr. Rohmeyer and his staff do speak to our applicants way before the
meeting.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, they have a lot of dialogue and meetings there. And so, you have to be careful with how we word this, that we don't want them meeting. Is it before their official application?
I think that's a good... trigger to recognize that when an application is submitted, that's when communication may start. But I think this instance is while they're developing the application. So I do recognize there's a lot of work that goes into preparing, especially for a major site plan or subdivision. There's a lot of work that goes into preparing a complete application. But under the MLU, the applicants have the right to bifurcate their applications, come in for preliminary only. So there are tools to work their way through the board rather than come in with a full, complete package.
So why don't we do this? Instead of having some sort of a general statement, why don't we vote on what's before us, which is that an applicant has come to our professionals and asked for a meeting. Let's vote on whether we're going to allow that meeting to occur.
Well, do we really have to? Can't we just leave it as is? And
I just want to hear if everybody agrees. Basis. Does everybody agree that this shouldn't be done?
Or is this an applicant?
Yeah.
No.
It's a preliminary. No,
this is before an application. Once an application is in, it's in play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that they should.
Does anyone think that it should be okay?
Yeah.
Then I don't think we need to vote. Let's just
Leave it the way it is.
Okay, great. Any other issues from board members that is up for discussion?
I know, but I do apologize for being late.
Okay. Okay, so let's adjourn the workshop meeting and go to the regular meeting. Can we get a call to order and a roll call?
Dr. Zuzula?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. Hawley?
Here.
Mr. Pepe?
Yes, here.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Here.
Mr. Neff?
Here.
Mr. Kakamo? Mr. Josto?
Here.
Mr. Karpinski?
Here.
Mr. Crowther? Mr. Curtis? Mr. Burr? Ms. Majewski?
Here.
So they can come?
Sure. Yes, Mr. Chairman, just taking some things out of order under the regular list. Number 7, PB 2206, Block 141, Lot 1. That's 102 Center Avenue, Demansky. The applicant, it's an application for bulk variances, and the applicant has said they're not ready to proceed with that at this point, and they've asked that their application be dismissed without prejudice. So if the board wants to dismiss that without prejudice, we can take that vote now, and then I'll have a resolution ready for the next meeting.
I'll make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
I'm sorry, let me just get to them. Okay. Hawley and McGoldrick?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Abstain.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Pepe?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
That's passed.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is item number 8, PB 22-02. It's block 91, lot 633, East Mount Avenue, DeMayo, Sharrick. It's an application for minor subdivision with variances. We received correspondence from their attorney advising that their planner is unavailable to proceed and that they're an essential witness to their case. They've requested that the matter be carried to the November 3rd, 2022 meeting. And I have suggested, and the board chair has indicated that he's in agreement that this can be carried. However, this is going to be the sixth time that this matter has been adjourned, and that we've told the applicant that they will have to be ready to go on November 3rd. If not, they're going to be dismissed, and that we have to have an extension, which they did provide us, through December 31st of this year. So with that in mind, I'm going to suggest, because we have had problems with not adjourning matters before and having a court disagree with us, that we give them one final adjournment. I've already told them they've got to do or die next time, or they're going to get dismissed.
No need to renotice.
That's up to the board. They ask that it be announced and not be renoticed. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, the notice was given. If they come in here in November and beg the board for further adjournments, then I would think the board would make them renotice. They're getting stale. It's 6 months now. This has been on.
Before we get to the public comment, do we need to vote on that issue, even though I...
Well, I think the public wants to get involved before you vote.
Understood. All right, please. Please. No, come on up.
Kevin Dooley with 37 East Mount Avenue. First of all, thank you all for your time and service. I know you're all volunteers, so very much appreciate it. To your point, sir, this is the sixth time that they are bouncing this. This is the sixth time that they are bouncing this the day of, within 48 hours of the actual meeting. Probably the fifth time within, on the day of the meeting, okay? Which I think is totally unprofessional, and, you know, I hope that you vote on that as a precedent to what they're proposing. I've gone through this application multiple times, and you know, there are so many variance reliefs that they're requesting here, and I'm sure you're all aware of them, but I'm just going to run through a few of them.
Sir, we're not having a hearing on the application at this point, so we're not going to discuss the substance of it.
And it's better for you to do it when the applicant's here.
I appreciate that. I would just like to let everyone know that our neighborhood...
I've communicated to other council that the board is also well aware that time after time, citizens have been placed at a disadvantage and inconvenience by having to come to meetings month after month only to be told that they're being carried.
Yes.
And that's why we're giving them a do or die date, that they're ready next time, they're going to go next time, or they're going to get dismissed.
I would request that you vote on this evening and not allow it to be carried to November, because it's been pushed out so many times.
So I already gave the go-ahead on bouncing it because I was asked to, and it was before the board could vote on it. So I'm happy to be overturned by the board, but that does, and I'll recuse, but that puts me in a bit of a pickle because it was presented as an exigent circumstance.
So
and I signed off on it. No, understood. But we were clear. Mr. Stibe was quite clear that as far as at least I was concerned when I gave that approval at the recommendation of Mr. Stibe, it's, you know, come next time or you're done.
I believe that was also the previous two times as well. I had been in touch with Aaron just communicating, hey, is this meeting happening? Mm-hmm. Make sure, you know, we have four kids at home. We have a lot of stuff going on. So I request that you vote this evening. I understand why you would have to abstain. I just feel that it's completely unprofessional, and it's a waste of everyone's time, including yours.
Thank you. Appreciate the comments.
Mr. Simon, Ms. Pepe, is there a reason why we're not carrying this to the October meeting specifically, that it's going to November?
They asked for November.
Yeah. So it's not according to the
attorney. Let me see if I have that here.
I might have it.
No, I have the file here.
Right.
According to the attorney's letter, they have a planner who, oh, this is my letter, first letter, that her planner withdrew from the application because she had a conflict with another case. They had a secondary planner who found out that they had a personal conflict within the 200-foot list and therefore could not represent them and just notified them of that. So they've now contacted two other planners that they're trying to engage, and they haven't gotten a response yet. That's what this letter says.
Understood.
They're trying to get a planner. If the board wants to say, you know what, it's October and not November, fine. I can send back a letter to council and say, look, the board looked at it. They're willing to give you the adjournment, but it's going to be October, and yeah, be here, and that's it. That's up to the board.
How does our schedule look for October, Mrs. Clark? Do you know?
I don't know.
Who's your counsel?
Their attorney is trying to remember the first name. Ms. Kowalski, Monica Kowalski.
Personally, it doesn't matter to me whether it's in November or October. You know, as long as they're not going to say it's October and they cancel it, make it November. So, you know, if we are voting on this, if it does go through, let their planner get up to speed. You know, a couple, like really 3.5 weeks isn't a lot of time for this application. So it doesn't matter to me if it's November.
Is there any recourse if we just dismiss this and they have to renotice?
I would advise against dismissing it because I gave them approval.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to get into problems with, you know, they appeal it because we dismissed it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't like doing that, as you all know. I mean, I've said it multiple times. I don't like making decisions without the board, but this one needed to be made because they either needed to show up or not.
Well, I think the line in the sand has been drawn. You know, if it's November 3rd and that's it, I think.
That makes sense.
Where we're at.
And we have not told them in the past
that we would do that.
The next month, that's it.
So I have
the first time that the board has communicated to the applicant.
That, to my knowledge, that's
my
correct.
Knowledge.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah. And maybe we should come up with some sort of a precedent here or a practice that we're not going to do this anymore. I think we should be accommodating to people if they need to bounce meetings, but not six times.
Their planner and everything, but they're tying up our schedule. They could have came in here, started their project and then continued to when they had the planner.
Yeah, and we're here talking about it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we do have the application. So
we heard the application.
We read the materials. We, you know, were prepared to discuss it. And then the day before, the day of, this was this morning or yesterday? I'm losing track of the day.
It was yesterday.
So, yes.
Originally.
No, you can stand there. It's fine.
Hi, I'm Christian Wendell, 34 MC. I'd like to back Kevin's point up. I draw on the good list on bottom, and I think if they have reached out to planners already, that just means that it's a cycle. So actually, I do think it's a great idea. Just set precedent. 6 times is a lot, 6 months. So I also ask that.
I think there was one more. Yes.
Kyle Shang, 43rd Avenue, Marathons. So I agree with Devin as well. And this is our time. I mean, this is all the public time. It's your time, and I respect your time, each and every one of you. I mean, what you have to put through on the board, if you're going to go through this, and we're having some good discussion again, and to push you off again, which I'm asking you to vote now and against it, because I do not think it is worth our time anymore. I put three things off four times. I'm not even a person that's living next to them. I don't think that we should have to be put through this as citizens six times. And I think I respect the fact that you did work, but I also think that there's times to say this doesn't make sense anymore. We're pushing this too far. Not just being practical. We're hearing them push it off. Which are not great excuses. You can find planners out there that'll help you pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
To keep on pushing off because the planner's not ready. I'm not buying that. I'm sorry. That's the one. I agree. I think you should have to set that through. Maybe two. I have no idea what it's been. Six. I think we need to draw a line.
Yep. Go ahead.
Thank you for listening. My name is Amy Corfold. I live at 41 Third Avenue, and I want to stand in support of Julie's, what Kevin said. I've been a journalist in the state for 45 years and covered planning boards like this with completely unpaid people like yourselves spending so much time, and I have to say, never have I heard six times, and I have to, okay, you know, call me a little bit suspicious. What kind of ploy is this to wear us down, you know, knowing there are numerous variances that would change the face of the neighborhood if they succeed in winning to do it? And I just have to wonder, what are they trying to do with this? And ask that question. And I do stand in agreement with the neighbors that I do believe it's time to dismiss if they're not here. I don't think the sixth time is going to be the charm on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to make one recommendation, and this is more for the professionals when comments like this come in, you know, requests like this come in the future. I think the attorney needs to come here and make the request.
That's fine.
It's your policy. It is not the chairman's role to make decisions like this in advance of meetings. We act as a board. I don't have any authority. I mean, I may have it under the land use law, but I don't think it's my role. I think my role is to facilitate discussion, not to make decisions.
I think it says a lot that nobody's here.
Yeah.
They have the applicant.
Yeah. So why don't we just, going forward, we'll do that.
I also have a concern that they arbitrarily pushed it to November without actually having a planner in place. So if they had two planners and they're no longer with them for whatever reason and they're trying to find new planners, I mean, it's going to be a long time for them to get caught up on it. So it doesn't even seem like the November was a date that they had set based on the professional nature of their presentation. So I would maybe suggest that we pressure them to present in October.
I'm with you.
If their presentation is ready to go, they've had planners wrapped and stacked, I say give them October, and if they can't do October, then...
And that's it.
Yeah,
dismiss it. Yeah, especially if we don't have a policy, if we don't have a pre-established policy that says you can only push three times, four times, whatever it is.
We don't.
We don't.
No. The one precedent was a couple of years ago we had someone that we dismissed, remember, with prejudice, but that was about seven, I think.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't want to go against the chairman. I mean,
no,
that's, they can move forward. So I would give them the latitude of 30 days. And then
Michelle, what day is the October meeting?
October 6th.
October 6th.
Thank you.
Yeah. How do members of the public feel about that date and your convenience for you to be present?
Yeah, I'm Emily Julie, 37 East Mount. I just want to say that it's just been so frustrating because it's such a big deal to us. So I did cancel a trip to California, and I missed my mom's 81st birthday in Lancaster because they had been canceling it right before. So it's just frustrating because every time we build up for this meeting and then, you know, get canceled. So I just wanted to express my big frustration with it because the whole thing is a big deal to us.
So this is a learning experience for me because I did not know that. And if I did, I would have probably acted differently. So thank you, and I'm sorry, because it's in part my fault that you all came in here with your comments and ready to go, and I just thought this was a routine. Somebody, you know, had a problem. So I apologize to you personally.
No, it's okay. Just
but my question is, does October 6th present a difficulty for any of you, or does November, as opposed to November 3rd? Because if moving it to October is a problem for you...
I think
and we will do it.
I personally think October 6th has to be the date. There has to be a line in the sand, because you're setting the precedent for anyone else that comes in that, you know, if they feel that their ordinance or their request may not be approved, they are going to bounce it, they're going to talk to somebody else, they're going to try to get more advice. I mean, this person, this applicant is going, doesn't even have a planner at this point. Two planners have moved on from them for what I think are obvious reasons. But, you know, this will be the seventh opportunity for them to present this to you. So forget about us here. This is your time. And, you know, they're wasting your time. And I would hope that I would request that you would draw the line in the sand and make it October. And if they're not prepared, they have had since January when they presented this to the board originally, the application. And I mean, that's more than enough time.
I agree. Thank you. All right, so this I can vote on. Why don't we take a vote on whether we're going to request that Mr. Stive reach out to the applicant's attorney to state that the applicant needs to be here in the October meeting, or they're going to be dismissed with or without prejudice, Mr. Stout.
It'll be without, because they've never presented anything, so you don't have any facts to base a denial with prejudice on.
Okay.
So it'll be a denial for failure to prosecute the application.
Okay. All right, so let's take that vote.
Dr. Zusilok?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Pepe?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Karpinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
And I'll note for the applicant's benefit on the record that that was a unanimous vote.
So those of you who are here in connection with that application, it is being carried to October 6, 2022, 7 p.m., this room. And at that time, the applicant is going to move forward, or it's going to get dismissed.
Thank you. You won't be disrupting us if you could get up and leave, too, if you don't want to stay.
Thank you.
So on that...
Thank you all.
Have a good night. Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, just while we're still on that topic, what would be, and maybe this is a question for Mr. Stubb, what would be the process to establish some sort of limitation?
Maybe
we do that for the workshop.
The meeting, just so we're not holding up the other
applications. Yeah. Why don't we do that in the workshop?
All applications are different. You know, they're all unique. So and the circumstances, you know, if there was a set of circumstances that differed from what these circumstances are, we'd be having a whole different conversation. So, like, the idea of precedent, I don't really like. You know, just because we made this decision on this particular application does not mean that we need to do the same thing for another completely different application.
I tend to agree with that. By press, I sort of at common law, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we put this, because we do have folks here, why don't we put this on the agenda for the, you know, for the workshop meeting next time? We'll talk about it.
Great.
In front of the
apparatus. Yeah, there you go.
Good. Okay. Great. So, Mr. Stubb, can I proceed
to number three?
Okay. Number three on the agenda, approval of attorney vouchers for July 2022. Can I get a motion?
I'll move that.
Second.
Let's take a vote.
Dr. Zusilok?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Pepe?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Karpinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Thank you. Next up, minutes for August 4th, 2022. Can I get a motion to approve?
No motion.
Second.
I'm sorry, who moved that?
Mr. Neff, and second, Mr. McGoldrick.
Thank you.
Sure.
Dr. Zusilok?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Karpinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Abstain.
Next item on the agenda, resolution PB22-03, block 97, lot 13, 68 First Avenue, True North Management LLC, Wickersham, granting minor site plan and change of use.
I'll make a motion to grant.
Second.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Drosko?
Yes.
That's passed.
Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda is Resolution PB22-08, Block 87, Lot 15, 35 East Garfield Avenue, Kelly, granting bulk and use variances.
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. McGoldrick?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Drosko?
Yes.
Mr. Kupinski?
Yes.
That's passed.
Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda, finally, we're doing some planning board stuff here. PB22-10, Block 17, Lot 38, 54 Ocean Boulevard, Lambert, application for bulk variances. Come on up. Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed service in connection with this application. The application actually was approved for service at the last meeting, carried to this meeting at the request of a neighbor. So service is in order, and I'm aware that the board has received the following exhibits in connection with this application. That's a review of your zoning officer, Michelle Clark, that's dated April 14, 2022. The application of Eric and Angie Lambert, that's dated March 8, 2022. A narrative of circumstances dated February 27, 2022. Two photographs, a site improvement plan prepared by Two River Engineering, that's dated October 20, 2021, and review number one of your engineer, CMA Associates, that's dated May 17, 2022. And we have also received communication from a neighbor, and that's by letter of, or I should say email of July 26, 2022, and that's Exhibit 01, and that is from Ara Jemgoshian, 50 Ocean Boulevard, Atlantic Islands. Those are the exhibits that I'm aware of thus far in connection with the application, and I assume that you are the Lamberts.
Yeah.
Welcome. Will you be both be giving testimony in connection with the application?
Sure.
So why don't you each raise your right hand and be sworn? Do you each either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Okay.
And ladies first, name and address.
Angie Lambert, 54 Ocean Boulevard, Atlantic Island, New Jersey.
Angie Lambert, 54 Ocean Boulevard, Atlantic Island.
Who would like to start off telling the board what your application is about, what you're requesting the board to grant approval for, and why you think the board should grant approval?
Well, I guess basically we applied for an application for events to go in, and we had discussed with one of the planning board members and our landscaper and a couple of neighbors about what type of fence to get and so forth. And when we submitted the application, we thought that our front yard was facing the water. It was based on our deed and the neighbors and the house. So when we applied for the permit.
Sir, can you just speak up because I can't hear you.
That's all right.
No, that's okay. And pull the mic a little closer.
Well, when we applied for the permit, it lists a 6-foot white fence in a rear yard, which we thought faced the roof. Because we assumed that the house, the back of the house, facing the water was the front.
Yeah.
So that was the issue.
Mm.
So when it was inspected, then obviously we were not in compliance because we were unaware that that was actually a front yard.
We didn't know. We just simply did not know. We live in a historic house there, and the front of our house technically faces the water, the marina. We've been there about 4 years. So when we applied for the permit, we didn't even think. We front yard and backyard. We didn't honestly have no thought of that not being our front yard.
So we put the fence out, get the permit, and then ordered the materials after we got the permit for the fence, had the fence put up. Maybe 3 or 4 days after it was up, we got a letter saying we had to take it down or apply for a variance in order to keep it. And, you know, it's a big expense to put it up. It's the labor, the time, it's always an issue over there. So what we're trying to say is we didn't put the fence up purposely knowing that was our front yard. We thought that was the back of our house. Although, it's just a misunderstanding as far as that part is concerned.
So there we were. So we applied for a variance.
So then we just thought we must apply for a variance. We took so long to get the materials because everything's on back order. So then the fencing did come in and went up. And it was already there, so that's why we were here for the fence variance. It's just to say, can we please use it? It's necessary for privacy. And that's our question. We brought pictures. I can show you what it looks like.
I was going
like.
To ask, can you circulate
some? It's helpful. You can see that. There's one of your. You want to show this? Give it to each of you?
Did the market first?
Let's give it a market. Give me one copy, please, so that I can mark it in.
We can share one.
Yeah, we'll share one.
Thank you. All right, this is going to be A7.
Thank you.
A through E. It's a series of 5 photographs showing the subject property and fence from various viewpoints.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you have an extra copy. I don't need that, but I think you have some interested people that may want to look at these so that we can give one to them so they can look at them.
Do you want to give us a brief explanation of the photographs? I mean, you can just do it in 30 seconds, but why don't you tell us what we're looking at here?
I didn't keep a copy for myself.
Here, here's one.
So on the first one, that's just, and then we're also here to just close our the part about the that's what you're seeing here. I have the front of the house shows the finished wall. We added that stone wall. That doesn't have anything to do with the fence. I think the other group of photos is the fence, but I don't have that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you gave us 2 packets, so that's actually my second.
It's okay. There's another. Yeah. What you're seeing, I think I wrote at the top of each picture, some of these from Ocean Boulevard, like if you were passing, it just shows what other folks see. I just tried to show that it doesn't take away from any water views for anyone else, or it doesn't, it's really kind of hard to see if you're coming up Ocean Boulevard. You're going up the hill from that direction. As you can see in the pictures, I'll let you can decide, but it's tough even though it's there. And coming down the hill, you do see the gray privacy fence where there are holly trees planted in front, which when they grow, should remove the rest of what's currently visible. But each picture, I noted at the top, a little description for you so you can see what view it's coming from, or what, how it was taken, or a description of what others may see. You don't want to ruin anyone else's view either. It's such a pretty spot there, but the fence is one side, the privacy fence goes down one side, not even the whole length of the property. Doesn't block anyone's water view that I'm aware of. We just asked that we could keep it privacy. To give us a little privacy from the neighbors.
Okay. Thank you.
We're just trying to, it's like a peace barrier, some way to just out of sight, we're just out of mind, just trying to, we're just trying to live there peacefully.
So the second set, I've given a marking as A8, A through F. It's a series of six photographs, again, of the property from various perspectives. But let me just ask you, I'm taking the first set of A7, which starts off with, it appears to be a photograph of the, along the frontage of the property.
That's the view. If you're coming up Ocean Boulevard, I was just trying to show that you can't even see the fence.
But the fence we're talking about is in the upper right-hand side?
That's what Ken Eric showed.
It's not the white fence.
It's
the
neighbors. That's the neighbors, right?
It's just a small portion.
Yep, correct. Okay.
Just trying to show that driving up Ocean Boulevard is really fairly obvious.
Just
want to
And then the final photograph in that series that says current view westerly side yard new driveway entrance, that is the white fence.
That's correct.
That's the fence
that's
that we're talking about.
That's all the piece of
privacy
fence.
The solid lips.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Romeyer, do you have... I'm sorry.
The question is, I think it's a gray fence, right? There's a privacy fence. It's too much in the front yard. It's on the side of the house, you know, but this extends too far forward towards the street. Right?
Correct.
So how far back does it need to be? Is it 20-foot?
Mr. Romeyer, before you testify, do either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Doug Romeyer, board engineer. So the code requires fence forward of the exterior of the structure. The space between the front face of the structure and the front lot line cannot exceed 48 inches in height and be open in nature.
So from the front of the structure...
Correct.
Is the intent of that, is it affecting drainage at any point or any sort of anything structurally or is it creating any fatigue or liquefaction or like anything engineering that there shouldn't be a fence in that location?
I cannot comment on the origin of the requirement, but aesthetically it could be an issue that could be discussed.
Aesthetically.
My concerns engineering-wise are from a pedestrian safety standpoint. You have that fence very close. Well, it appears from the photos to be very close to the sidewalk. Potential for some pedestrian conflict. You have some potential for vehicular conflict as well.
We sat in the car. Correct. We actually brought a car up there, sat inside the car, and took a picture out the car window. So that's a picture of that perspective. And it's back. There's no...
looks like it's further back than the white.
Thank you. Yeah, it's much further back. So it's
so
not,
there's no...
The gray
should be the white fence. I hesitate to say the same.
So the white fence...
The white fence is not ours. Yeah. The gray went far back.
This photograph is A9.
I believe that the and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Romeyer, but that like specificity about fencing in the front of property and height and openness restrictions like stems from planning, not from engineering. So and it's from like the 1950s. So it's,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want people having big fences on the side of their house and, you know, blocking more views from the front of your porch. That's pretty obvious. So the question is that an issue here? You know, you've got all the plantings on the side and that sort of thing. But let's, Mr. Romer, do you have any, you know, specific questions for the
applicant? I do. So in the application package that I have currently consists of two drawings. I just want to make sure I have everything that was submitted. I have a site improvement plan prepared by Two River Engineering, last revised 10/2021. And then there is a secondary reduced size plan, hand notated as fence variance location. Is there any drawing that shows where this fence is specifically? Is there any, how do we know exactly where this fence lives, exists?
Like from the picture, what do you mean? We measured, like, we know how many feet it is back from the road. Is that what you mean?
So, yeah, can you describe? I don't see it on the plans. Number one, is it depicted on the plans? And if not, can you describe where it is?
Is it depicted on the plan you have? I'm unsure. Because we didn't know it was a problem when the Two Rivers drew up the big plan for the driveway and widening and the wall up front. But we again thought that was, we didn't even consider that. We hadn't even applied for the fence permit yet, so it wasn't on there. The fence came after. And then we came in and applied for a fence permit. We didn't have, the engineer did not draw out the fence.
Just so I'm clear, they never applied for a variance, correct?
That's my understanding.
The permit for the fence was granted by the building department. Now it's just on
Right. And we had the front back confused, so that was...
Yeah, we were given, we did apply for a fence permit, we got the fence permit, we took the fence out, then it was taken away. That's why we're here.
Can I ask a question? Because I can't tell from the pictures. You see the part that, and this is on exhibit, I'm sorry, Mr. Stein, what was the first one that you marked?
A7.
A7, so on, it's on A7, the first packet on the last image, the one that looks like that?
Yes.
Okay. So the question I have for you is, you see how you have the, you know, the evergreen trees, those look like, those are hollies. So how far back do those hollies go? Does the line of hollies go all the way back to the front of your, or the front or back of your house? And beyond, so they go the whole side length?
Almost. They go down the hill. They go down the hill, probably 3/4.
Okay, and so the part in the front yard, the side facing Ocean Boulevard, the only part that is exposed beyond the hollies is this piece right here?
Right.
Okay. We have some photos from the side to show that.
How far back was the fence from the road? I know you measured.
It was only, I think, 7 feet back from the sidewalk.
Not the road,
From our side of the sidewalk. So the road, I'm unsure how far back.
From the back of the sidewalk, the closest point of the 6-foot fence is 7 feet.
All right, Mr. Romeyer, any other questions?
Was the application that was submitted to the building department for the fence installation, was that submitted to the board as part of this packet?
We applied for a fence permit. Everything else was done, and then we applied for the fence permit. It was a separate thing. Then we applied for the fence permit. We were given the fence permit, ordered everything to be revoked, and then we were told to be here for the variance.
So just so I'm clear, you did get a fence permit?
Yes.
And you got the fence permit based upon a drawing you're saying that included the fence in its current location?
Correct.
Okay, and then after you got the fence permit, you were...
Had it all put up. Took a long time to get the materials because of shortage. Had it put up. Then we got a letter about 3 days after it was put up that...
Okay.
It was a problem. That's why we're here.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from the... from the board?
No, I'd just like to see the county of the defense. Do we have that?
We have one.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. I mean, is that a requirement that
should have outlined their property when they're submitting for a fence permit, and that's a building.
The proposed activity, I was interested to see what the proposed activity was listed as on the permit that was issued by the borough and
we have that somewhere.
What's being circulated now by Mr. Stibe generally indicates 3-foot fence in the front yard and 6-foot fence in the rear yard. And I think
that's where the
front rear.
Where the front side rear.
This is going to be 810. This is an application for development permit, and it has a permit approved 6-foot white fence rear yard, 3-foot white fence front yard. And attached to it is a survey prepared by Brunswick West Incorporated, and this is a survey for block 17, lot 38. On it is a it's a survey of the property along the westerly property line. There is a, I'll call it red line that goes along that with a note that says note, the fence would go on property line except where a house is about, hard to read, so many inches on our property. We would go around it as we did before according to acreage on survey. And that's all it says, but it doesn't identify what is 3 feet and what is 4 feet.
So I just want to make sure I understand your testimony. Are you saying that this is the back of your house?
Yeah.
So the place where you drive your car up and has a big front door on it, that's the back of your house?
It is actually historically the back of our house. I mean,
so when you go grocery shopping and you come home and you pull your car up and walk the groceries in your house, do you go around or do you go through that door?
We call that the roof porch. I mean, but it is a historic house. The Tardini, even it'll say front facing marina front because it was once the front of the house when it was built.
I don't want to give you a problem, but there is no ambiguity. The front of your house is the front door that I'm looking at. Now, whether the board votes to give you the variance you're asking for, that's one thing, but I would not come to the board personally and claim that the front of your house is the back.
I mean, I'm just to say that when we applied for the permit, we didn't even consider, when we saw that we got the permit, we didn't even consider if it was west or north, or we didn't even front row.
Completely fine. Different issue, but, you know, it's important we make decisions based upon, until I saw that picture, I thought, oh, maybe there really is, that's the front of your house.
Was there a letter from the neighbor?
I don't know, but I think there are folks who want to speak. So. Any other questions from the board?
I was just questioning Mr. Rumeyer if on any of their site plans does it say frontage on any of the rear for the property boundaries.
If you review the Two River engineering plan, there's a bulk chart that discusses lot frontage and various other side yards, and yeah, there's the minimum lot frontage on this lot is depicted as 25 feet and 79.9 is proposed. And that correlates generally with the front, the porch closest to Ocean Boulevard.
Okay, so why don't we hear...
I do have one question.
Yeah.
Was there a fence there before? Were you replacing an existing fence, or was this new?
No, this was new.
Okay.
We have a fence for our dog, a metal fence.
That's the aluminum fence, or it's chain link?
You can see metal fence that's black there. It may be hard to see in those pictures. Mm-hmm. You'll see it along the...
But this particular fence is new. Okay.
Okay, so why don't you, thanks, sir.
Questions for right now, or?
I'm sorry? Yes, sir. Questions for the applicant, yes.
And sir, would you just give us your name and address, please?
Aaron Jangoshian, 50 Ocean Boulevard, right to the west of 54 Ocean Boulevard.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
have two questions, so please bear with me. So first one is, you said you thought that was the back of your house and the front was on the marina side. On the marina side, I see fences, and there's a steep hill to climb up. Have you ever come to your front door, as you think it's the front door, from that side? Have you ever, since you moved to the house, which is about 3 years,
Well,
that's my question.
So the question is, since you've been living in the house, have you ever entered your house from the ocean side when coming, for example, from the street?
I mean, if I walked up on the porch and come in that way.
Typically, the eastern side, 90% of the time.
So we have the porch on the right.
On the
right.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question,
probably,
sir?
Probably 90% easterly side, 8% facing the road, and probably 10% my next question is, do you realize that the park, that in a lot of these pictures by the sidewalk, the fence is actually, the center of the fence is smack on the property line. So half the fence is on my property. Do you realize that? Did somebody, when you first started, did somebody come and tell you that you are encroaching, that the neighbor is complaining and you are encroaching, just as the work started?
It's
probably happened 6 or 8 times since we've lived there. Yeah. Do you realize
I just want to make sure I understand the question and the answer. So the question was, during the building, installation of the fence, were you told that the neighbor was complaining? Is that the question?
That did somebody come and inform them before work went too far?
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody inform them that they are encroaching?
And I'm sorry, I didn't get the answer.
He said six. I'm sorry. Yes, that time and several times before that.
Okay. Please, next question. And I saw you reaching
to my next question. Did you know that you had a retaining wall there that you installed 2 or 3 years ago? That was partially on my property. Were you aware of that?
No, we had it surveyed a couple of times.
Yeah, you have to. I'm not going to comment, sorry. Almost commented. I'll address that later. Okay. Do you realize that the other side...
We no longer separate out questions and comments, so you can question and comment.
You'll have to be sworn there. Yeah. He's going to comment at this point. So let's keep it to questions for now.
Okay. Mr. Stein doesn't like it.
Stick to the rules. Do you realize that at the other end, you have an easement granted to me, about 5 feet from the house? Do you realize that you were going right through that easement?
I believe that our attorneys have spoken about that. I said I believe our attorneys have spoken about that.
Did your attorney speak about it after fact or during?
After us.
After. Did my attorney send Mr. Healy? Did he send a letter to you informing you that you were encroaching?
Mr. Jim Gochin, let me just try and focus this. This board does not decide boundary disputes or property lines. That's for a court. So you can talk all you want about your encroaching on my easement, you're encroaching on my property. This board is not going to deal with that issue. If you want that issue dealt with, you're going to have to deal with that in the courts and have a judge decide it. What this board can decide is whether or not they can allow this property owner to have a fence that is 6 feet in the front yard rather than 4 feet. And this board can only grant that approval for a fence that's on their property. If it's off their property, That's between you guys and your attorneys and the court. That's not for this board. And we're not going to listen to a lot of testimony about easements and property line and encroachments. Because any, if this board decides to grant an approval, they may or may not. That depends on what they hear the testimony about the fence. But their approval can only allow that fence at that height on their property.
Thank you, Mr. Spratt. I'm aware of that. However, the fence was installed in altogether in the same way, with the same mindset. So that's why I'm bringing that up. And I realize that that isn't what your decision has to be based upon.
And therefore, that's not relevant to what this board's going to consider.
What would be helpful, though, is if you ask any questions that you may have about how it may be obstructing the view, or things of that nature, things that relate to the height of the fence and its location, because those are the two things that we really need to address. Property disputes, as Mr. Stein said, just you need to deal with that between your lawyers.
Okay, thank you. You said you did that for privacy. Well, you have one on the east side of your property, a similar fence, or only on the west side?
Only on the west side. Okay.
And do you plan on putting one on the east side?
At this point, I don't think we'll plan to do anything else.
Have you thought what the impact of it would be on your neighbors, us, of this fence?
Probably not to the degree that it was primarily for a barrier to eliminate issues with us, issues that we need our help. So,
I'm sorry?
Just for asking our help and support. So, and, you know, it seems that our the folks that help around the house are an aggravation to you. So that was the primary goal, just to try to have a barrier. So hopefully this thing can go away.
How long is the section of the fence that is considered the front, and you're asking for variance?
Probably about 70 feet, give or take.
And from the 70 feet, I've seen bushes on your side. How much of the fence do you see from your side? Other than the front section by the curb.
There's a picture of that. There's a picture of it.
We have some.
In total, maybe 15 feet, I guess, to cut the gap to 15.
I'm done with my questions. I'll have comments later.
Well, you can do comments. Let's
sir, just raise your right hand, please, and be sworn. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony that you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And once again, state your name and address, please.
Ara Jim Goshen, 50 Ocean Boulevard.
Go ahead, sir.
Some notes. Needless to say, I oppose granting a variance for this fence. This is the only property in a very, I drove up and down Ocean Boulevard quite a ways, and this is the only property where there's such a fence. There's none anywhere else. And these properties were oftentimes are very narrow, such as mine. It's 50 feet wide and a couple hundred feet long. That's how they slice them along Ocean Boulevard. And as you know, or some of you may have also small property yourself. So the rule about, in my opinion, about having a solid 6-foot fence or not having a solid 6-foot fence is because the one neighbor who has a double lot, such as 54 Ocean, will not lock somebody into a spot. We feel that this fence has boxed us in. We see this giant fence, and also, I need to say, it's really not 6 feet tall. It averages about 6.5. So, I don't believe that this does any benefit to the community. I think people walking on Ocean Boulevard will not be able to see the properties. And I think it's really a detriment, not just to us, but also to the community.
Sir, can I ask you one question?
Yes.
Do you have, you see how there are all the holly trees on the applicant's side of the fence? Do you have a similar set of trees or bushes on your side, or do you see the fence from your house?
By and large, we see the fence. We have a tree that, you know, has a bark and a trunk, rather, two trees perhaps. We have some rose of Sharon that grows near the sidewalk. The pictures you saw that the applicant has given is like this. Imagine a row of trees that are 10 feet apart. You look this way, you see through. But you look from there, you're going to see solid trees. You're not going to see anything behind it. Mm-hmm. And that's the situation. These pictures are hiding from the street side the site of the fence. If you look at the fence from my property, you see fence. And we see through. Even where there's bare branches of the Rose of Sharon, we see the fence behind it. It's solid. It's close. I feel boxed in.
No, no, go ahead. Thank you. You answered my question.
Am I allowed to submit something?
No, let him let me just comment.
I don't know.
I'll give you an out.
It's okay.
The other thing I want to say is that this is a Victorian neighborhood. Victorian houses, that is. My house was built in prior to 1889. I believe it was on the map, looked like the first one that was on the 1889 map. And so we've done quite a bit of effort to keep it in its character, its moldings, and you know, keep it in good shape. And I believe that this fence crashes with that character of the Victorian book. So again, why is that important? Because I don't think that this improves the neighborhood, the community. Right? So, as I said, the fence is a deterrent to us. I didn't hear any kind of statement from the applicant in terms of how this is good for the community. How, you know, that's about it. One other thing I want to say is, you may not have realized, I got a sort of a left jab here about complaining to their help. I'd like to address that because if Mr. Lambert hadn't brought that up, I wouldn't have brought this up. We have constantly have had encroachment on our property, and we are tired of it, quite honestly. We've tolerated it. And there was a worker there, a migrant worker, who was working there and stepped over on my side. And I told him, I didn't want to call the police and charge him for trespassing. Nevertheless, Nevertheless, I was concerned about what work they're going to do again that's going to do something to my property. So I had some concerns. So I told them, if you come to this side, I'm going to close the place. Very calm. No harassment. However, Peter Say, Mr. Lambert, goes to the police and files a complaint. The police called me and I explained the situation.
Mr. Gianfranco, we're really not interested in hearing about your dispute.
It's for privacy, and he said that to keep the, I know, I wasn't going to bring it up. So I've addressed that. But it has been brought up, and it draws a negative picture of me, and
we don't consider it. So I mean, understood, but I want to give you all the due time you need. It's an important issue between two neighbors, but we're just not deciding that right
now. I'm just addressing something that I heard, that's all.
We're not considering that on either side.
Okay. I'm done.
I appreciate it. I did not mean to cut you short if you have anything.
I'm done, actually. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll give you an opportunity to respond. Why don't we just have the one member of the public who wants to speak in addition?
We installed
Sir, we're going to have to swear you in, sir. Raise your right hand and be sworn. Do you swear or affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Correct.
And state your name and address.
Harvey Thorne, 26 Grand Avenue, Red Edge Landscaping Company.
Spell the last name, sir. Spell the last name, sir.
Red Edge Landscaping.
No, your last name.
T-H-O-R-N.
Thank you. Go ahead.
We installed the fence, and I was there when it was being installed, and my workers never went on his property. He came out screaming out there.
Mr. Thorne, we're not going to get involved with that.
And you want to know why the fence was put up? Harassment.
Sir, we're not going to get involved in neighborhood disputes. That's
and
not what this board
is.
Sir.
We checked the survey. We're on the property line. We were told we're on the property line. We were not infringing on his property or anything. We looked at the survey. We came down, got the permits. They said, that said, everything's fine. Go ahead and put the fence up. We put it up.
So, look, appreciate it. Everybody should know. These issues, you know, I'm just saying, we understand, right? We're human beings that live in the world, right? So we understand there's a dispute going on here between the neighbors, but we have a job to do, and you know, the more we can focus on the things that help us get the job done, the better our decision. We're not listening to that on either side.
Yeah, understand. Yeah. Thank you.
In fact, that was a different time.
It's okay.
It's not the same work.
It sounds like there are a lot of disputes between our neighbors. Okay, so we get it. And what we want to do, no, thank you. And what we want to do is really focus on the issues that are at hand, which are, you know, should we grant the variance relief that's being sought? So appreciate it. You can say one more thing, sir, and then we'll go to the applicant.
If this variance is granted, this variance will outlive me and the Lamberts, so you have to take that into consideration. This is not a variance where that's going to go away when one of the neighbors goes away. Just wanted to.
Thank you. So you had a comment?
No. I don't even know if it matters. We're just an argument of people, to be perfectly honest about it.
No, that's okay. If you have something to say, say it.
They agreed to take down.
Sir, hold on. It's their turn. Okay, I just need to keep order. That's all. It's not. I'm not cutting you off.
If it matters.
I don't know what we do. Is it certain
that whether or not the statement made that we shouldn't have a fence on that side? This neighbor.
Okay. Thank you. So why don't we
mark this? I don't know if you want.
Do you have copies? I'm sure copies. All right, so let me hand it out.
Exhibit A11.
I'd be interested, because you have a lot of pictures. Do you have a photograph?
It's a series of three photographs. It's going to be A11.
Do you have a photograph from your neighbor's point of view?
I think there's some original package that
Yeah, you can see down through there. I mean, there's greenery there. Mm-hmm. But I'll look for it.
So So I just want to make sure I understand the photograph packet that you've given us now.
They have a six, there's a 6-foot fence on their western side and in the front yard.
So that is, that,
I can't imagine that's a concern to them. They have the very same thing on the other side of their yard. This is hard for us to understand.
Maybe this one is the one there.
That's such a problem for them.
I gave mine to Mrs.
Well, so I just want to make sure I understand what this photo is showing us. So this is this is your neighbor's other neighbor.
No, that's the neighbor's side yard.
Side yard. Okay. With a.
That's their westerly side. Our fence is here on the westerly side. Mm-hmm. That's their fence on their westerly side.
Okay.
In the same front yard. That's the, they have the very same 6-foot fence in their yard.
And are you identifying?
Now, this is their property. Mm-hmm.
Aaron
and this,
so this they just
can't understand why.
Yeah, and where's this fence?
Uncomfortable for them.
Oh, no, understood. I thought we were,
they have
you're answering the other question.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay.
Like there, so I think that's as close as we have.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right, but let me just ask the question. So the wooden fence that you're pointing us to, this is, it seems to extend, let's say, 15, 20 feet, but not all the way to the street on your neighbor's side yard.
It's hard to see probably.
Okay, no, appreciate that. Thank you. So, sir, this has to be the last time, otherwise we just can keep going and going. Yes, you can address it.
This is about, as you get about 15, 20 feet, roughly 2 feet length.
Mm-hmm.
All of the smaller ones. And it's 5 feet tall, not 6.5. So it's 5 feet, and it is grandfathered in. When we moved in this house 21 years ago, it was there. And it's gotten old, so when we have to replace the fence, we know that we aren't going to be able to put a solid 6-foot fence there, because we would need to come in front of the board, or we would put a not a solid one that's, has openings. And it does serve a purpose, but it's nowhere near the, I figure 80 feet actually. The section of the fence is 10, 8-foot section that was fire. And ours is like a tiny little section, 5 feet tall, and it is doomed to go away next few years.
Yeah, it looks like it's about 20, 25 feet, right?
I don't think it's 25 feet.
So, what? 3-4 sections.
It's actually small pieces, so it's kind of hard to say how many.
Okay.
It looks like it was mended at one time.
I actually don't. I don't think what your fence. I don't think your fence is relevant. We're talking about your fence. So, but I appreciate all the testimony. Okay. Do you have anything further? And do you want to sum up, or are you okay?
Okay, but
we just present what we have.
Yeah.
And, respect your decision.
We're in it. I just have a couple quick questions.
Sure, of course.
The material is PVC, is that correct?
Yeah.
Plastic fence.
Mm-hmm.
And are there any gates or openings or gaps in the fence?
No.
Would we be willing to take a front section down and one closer to the river, but
maybe that has the last one that sort of juts up anyway. What if we could cut that? Does that help your concern for visibility?
Because honestly, the end of it is kind of bad way if just sort of
hanging out there.
Better
if it was
slow
enough. I don't know if that were
partially removed. We'll all talk about that. That certainly addresses Mr. Rohmeyer's issue, so with sight lining for pedestrians and that sort of thing. Why don't you let the board talk about this, and we'll take that part into consideration when we talk about all of it. Okay. Any other questions from the board?
We have some additional public.
Yeah, okay. Oh, we're on the public. Please, ma'am. Are you going to make a comment or ask questions?
Please raise your right hand and be sworn. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And name and address.
Our neighbors are very nice people. I just object to the height. It's really high because the ground is raised when they put in the bushes. So now it looks like it's 7 feet high. And it's just overbearing and makes our property feel really small and like closed in. So I definitely object to the height.
And which side are you? You're together. Okay,
yes.
Sorry. Thank you.
You're
okay. And there's a lot of interest. And does it, go ahead, sir. I just want to make sure everybody has their...
Charles Kirby, Glory Road, number 25.
Sir, raise your right hand and be sworn. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Go ahead.
I find, I looked at this fence when I first saw it, I was absolutely outraged. It's quite grotesque for the neighborhood. It's extremely high. It's higher than me, so it probably is 6.5 feet high. And you'll notice from the one photograph there, I noticed that standing across the road, looking to the left of the house, the fence is already there. It comes up barely, you know, to the first floor. Looking towards that side, that fence looks like it comes up half the house. I'm talking about perspective, obviously. Anyhow, where I live, I'm 2 or 3 doors away from where Skid Row lived. There's a group, and they had a variance group many years back, and they had an aluminum fence put through, and as you can see through it, it's just like vertical pieces. And that's nothing like the height of this thing. That alone, that's probably 4.5, 5 feet high. And it's absolutely not intrusive. So I don't find it a problem at all. So this one, I take one look at this and from the street, this thing's ghastly. 4 feet is the limit. This is practically double the height, it appears to me. So I find it absolutely outrageous that anyone would install this thing. I cannot believe that anyone would try to pass off the front of that house as the rear. I can't believe if you stand there, everyone knows that the front of your house is where your address is. If your address is Ocean Boulevard, the front of your house faces Ocean Boulevard.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am?
Yes, do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will give the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And your name and address?
Jennifer Jambrochan, 200 Water Street, New York, New York. These are my parents. I've grown up in this house. I'll make this very quick. I know we don't spend a lot of time tonight. The fence aesthetically is completely unappealing. We have boarded ceiling windows, and now when we look out those windows, we don't see anything but that it feels prison-like, and it's just doesn't go with the style of the town. And sorry, I'm close as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's just do one more round. Any other board questions, or is the board prepared to start discussing? Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Two questions about the height of the fence on the side yard restricted to 14%. The whole run?
Correct. Forward of the home out to the front property line is restricted to 40.
So how much roughly footage is that?
Approximately 75 feet, give or take. 5 feet.
Okay. All right, board discussion.
I think that the front of the property is inarguably facing ocean, not considering the house at all, but that's the front of the property. And our zoning code is, you know, it has the fence stuff in there. I think if we want to go back and rehash the zoning code, that can be done at another time. But, you know, this is the zoning code. And if this fence in the front of the property was, you know, either had, you know, it abided by the height restriction, it was 4 feet and under, or the openness restriction, you know, whatever it is, the ratio is 1:4 or less than that, I'd be more apt to be agreeable to this. But, it's, you know, 6 feet at least. I'd feel better if there were dimensions, but there are none. It's 6 feet at least, and it's 100% closed. So, I, you know, I just have a hard time seeing this one.
Thank you. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I feel I owe you an obligation to look you right in the face and tell you what I think. I think your house is gorgeous. So I think it's one of the best houses in town. I love it. I love the way it looks. I love everything about it. There is no question in my mind that the front of your house is obvious. And I'm looking at the permit application, and it says conditions, development approved conditions, 6-foot white fence rear yard, 3-foot white fence front yard. Folks, you knew you put the fence in and that it didn't belong. I'm not accusing you of lying, but I, you know, there's no way that you can not know that the front of your house is the front of your house. And I feel horrible about this, but I'm voting to make you rip it out. I feel really bad about it. So that's why I want to look you in the face and tell you, if it wasn't a giant 6-foot white fence staring your neighbors in the face that was put in violation of what's obvious on the face of your permit application, I probably would have given you the variance. But it's those two things that are really bothering me. That it's obvious and that it's really big and your neighbor has to look at it every day, and you don't because you have trees in front of it. So that's why I'm voting, you know, in favor of making you rip it out. Only in the front.
Do you have to modify it or rip it out?
Modify, rip it out, you know.
It's just a 2 feet.
You have to comply with the variance.
I think something else to consider is just how close it is to the street. Right now it looks like it has like maybe one link missing. I think according to the setbacks, probably would be an additional 2 that would have to be removed.
Well, the whole fence in the front of the house is inconsistent with
assuming that even a new fence was put in, it would have to go back to that 20-25 feet.
So a compliant fence could go forward.
Yeah. It has to be see-through or 4 foot and
what?
Mr. Omar, can I ask you again to define side yard? Where a 6-foot fence, so it's from the front of the dwelling?
Front of the house.
The front of the house?
The condition is the space between the front lot line and the front exterior of the structure.
Okay.
So if you're referring to the Two River Engineering Plan, it's the back of the horseshoe driveway out to the front lot line.
Yeah.
On the fence variance location sketch, there's a yellow highlighted piece on the left.
Yeah.
That yellow highlight is basically defining the front yard. It's from the front exterior of the structure out to the front lot line. So it's the entire fence as depicted, which is non-conforming.
Got it.
And may I ask you one last question? And I agree with Doug, the house is a show place, there's no doubt about it. And the star of the show is facing the water, for sure.
Yeah.
So aside from your perspective on that, because that's where the show is, aside from your perspective, is there any documentation at all in your possession that indicates that is the front of the house?
Or
indeed.
Well, that's different.
The Atlantic Highlands Historic book that's in the library states shows a picture of our house, and it says front facing.
Well, that's different. Do you have that?
Yes, in the book. It's in the book.
I mean, that makes a difference.
Well, it was part of their testimony. They did say.
Yeah, but I want to.
We don't have the documentation. You're exactly right.
Yeah, I want to see it.
It's at the Strauss Museum. It's all even in the book.
Well, if you want my vote, I suggest we adjourn this and you come back with the deed. If you don't want my vote and you want to take a vote with my, because, you know, right now I'm not voting for you.
Yeah, we could do the deed in the book. I mean, it says that at the front of our house. I mean, it says front facing.
Well, that's what they.
I mean, I wouldn't argue with that.
I'm not saying you are, but I want to see it because, you know, it's important to me.
Thanks, Frank.
So there are some houses that their front door. There's very few homes where they get off the train and walk up, and I think it's. Not 50 Ocean, but the house 48 Ocean next to it. It potentially has.
Joe's house is
the
same.
Joe said that Joe.
Tacoma?
My backyard. That's why it's not here. It's the front yard of my house because there's water. I'm not sure.
Now I should ask Michelle if that's what she meant when she put in the
I think that is, but that is, I mean, honestly.
No, it is. Look, to me, it's very important.
You should have front facing. I inferred it to the other individuals that I know that live on Ocean, where their front door is the back.
I mean, it's true. I'm not, I wasn't being, I didn't lie about it.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Romeyer, and to be clear, I'm not saying that you are.
So nomenclature and verbiage on a deed is one thing. Our code's definition relies on front lot. Lots can have multiple frontages, okay? So a front lot line is adjacent to a roadway. Mm-hmm. So regardless of the deed, the south side of the property is considered a front yard.
No, understood, Mr. Romeyer. I think part of my view here, and we're still in board discussion, but part of my view here is informed by sort of the clarity surrounding, you know, whether I certainly think you should have asked the board, the permit issuer, what this meant, right? Because I have to say, you get it. But like I said, from my perspective, from my perspective, it's the both. It's also that it's a huge fence that's staring your neighbor in the face. And I have a hard time, and I'm not trying to persuade anybody else, but I have a hard time. If I was there in that house, it's blocked on your side. You've got all these beautiful trees, and they got this big white fence. And it's a hard one for me, and it's really hard for me to consider making somebody rip out something that they put in. I mean, it's difficult. So anyway, I've said my thoughts on this issue, and I guess everybody else should say what they think. Okay.
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah, I hate to say it, but it's front yard. It's a high fence. It's built up a little bit because it's on a berm there. It's even higher. And it needs to come down. Do you have a lower fence? If you want to say in your front yard, the other side of the yard going down towards the water, do you have a fence there on that side as well?
We just stopped after this.
When the complex started, we just halted.
But I'm concerned now, if we put a 4-foot fence in,
what's the difference?
What kind of trouble will we have?
There has to flow, or so even if there's a 4-foot fence there, we're still going to see a 4-foot fence.
If you put a fence that complies with the ordinance, then you don't have to seek variance. So
right,
yeah, you might have lot line disputes and that sort of thing, but yeah, I get it. And
we can't cut the fence off. We've already because we're conceding the fence, we would just said to the board that we would have just taken up the fence. You can't cut
PVC.
Fence off.
Yeah.
So it's a waste.
I know it's horrible. This is a horrible situation, but I think we should take a vote.
What's the motion?
We need a motion.
Approve or deny?
Approve or deny.
Make a motion.
You can make a motion to approve or a motion to deny.
I'll make a motion to approve as long as they take that front section to Ocean Boulevard, drop that down to 4 feet.
The first section, drop it down.
First section on the Ocean Boulevard side.
I'll second that.
How many sections are there that
you're
going to take down?
One.
And only the one panel is 8 feet?
8 foot section.
8 foot.
You're saying take it down or take it out?
Take it down, drop it down 4 feet. The front panel.
Or take it out altogether. Yeah. Or take it out altogether.
Did we have a second?
Yes. What was the motion?
The motion is to take the first section that's on the exhibit and drop it down to 4 feet. But the rest is still non-compliant. And I'll just say, from my point of view on that issue, that does not address the neighbor. And if I were the neighbor here, I would be infuriated by having this 6.5-foot white fence in my front yard.
Let's take a vote.
Okay.
Excuse me. So if we vote
If you vote yes, the variance is approved with the exception of the first panel.
The first panel.
This has to be either removed or reduced to 4 feet.
If you vote no, because the whole thing is denied.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
Okay. Dr. Zuzulak?
No.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Pepe?
No.
Mr. McGoldrick?
No.
Mr. Neff?
No.
Mr. Josko?
No.
Mr. Kropinski?
No.
Ms. Majewski?
No.
Eight.
Thank you. This is one of the hardest votes I've had on this board, but we appreciate your time. Thank you for coming in, and hope it wasn't too difficult a process. Thank you. I think we've got a motion to adjourn.
Second.
So, all in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Yes.
That's how you can remove the fence?
It's not up to you.
That's code enforcement.
That's up to you. Just going on code enforcement. I think you have to go on this way.